Hello, everybody, and welcome
to Ghoul Society.
That's my little sister, Sarah.
And that's my big sister, Jamie.
We are grateful to be recording on the unceded stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests on this land, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you have officially been inducted into the
Ghoul Society.
I don't know.
Okay.
Jamie's tired. I'm so tired.
Jamie needs a nap.
I need a fucking lobotomy. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Whoa.
It's fine. Yay. No, everything is good. Everything is good. Everything is great.
I'm just very tired. Out today.
I know. I guess I should go for a walk.
Well,
it would probably make me feel better.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
We went on one yesterday morning, and it was super nice.
Nice. Yeah. I've actually done pretty good on, like, going on a walk every day for the last week.
Nice. I haven't done any exercise, and I feel like shit.
Yeah. But also, it's so hard, because since we've been sick...
I know. Also, it's like, what am I supposed to do? I feel like shit.
Yeah. Just so everyone knows, we're batch recording. Sorry, so we're still talking about the break, blint, whatever. But, yeah, like, feeling shitty and feeling... sick, then like I had this whole plan. I was like, I'm gonna go to the gym,
mm-hmm.
like 5 out of 7 days.
Yeah, I was gonna go running.
Yeah,
and I haven't been able to because I've been fucking sick.
I know. So I'm gonna go tomorrow after work.
Nice,
because I'm only working half day, so
okay,
I can go like before the crazy school rush teens arrive at the gym.
Yeah,
because they always come there because I'm at the rec center, so then
right,
and the yeah, school's right beside it, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh god.
Yeah, I don't miss that.
No, it's such a pain.
Damn.
Anyway, well, should we just get into it?
Yeah. So my story was chosen on TikTok.
Like you were like, vote for the story.
Yeah.
Slay.
But it was only voted by Emma and Montana. My two biggest fans.
Aw, I love that.
Yeah.
That's very
But anyway, so they chose this story. And the TikTok was like, which cursed object should I cover? Yeah.
With one, the Dybbuk box or whatever.
The Dybbuk box?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I might actually do that. There's this other one that I've never really heard of. But I won't tell you about it. But okay. I think it might be really short, so I might just have to make a video
cursed
about
object,
it.
Cursed object, like, compilation.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it. I'm excited.
Anyway.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah. So this curse object is a car.
Oh. That is not what I was expecting. What the hell? Okay. What the hell, bro?
Do you know? You don't know?
No.
You have no idea?
No.
Oh. Well.
Does it involve a bridge?
No.
Then
but
no.
But it involves a famous person.
Oh. Marilyn Monroe.
No. No, but like.
Princess Diana.
No.
Like, nah, I don't know.
Okay, but.
Oh.
Yeah.
That girl who like.
No, it's a man.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, think like
Edward Cullen. Wait. Robert Pattinson. Trump.
No.
Damn, it could have killed him. Anyway, what?
Think like Marilyn Monroe adjacent.
Elvis Presley.
No, but like same realm of like rebellious bad boy heartthrob. He's a movie star. Everybody loves him. It's James Dean.
Oh. Damn, if you would have said that restaurant in Bowness, Angel's Drive-In, with a poster of the guy on the wall, I would have got it.
I forgot that exists.
I think about that all the time.
Listen, if you know Angels Drive, then you know.
You know the poster of James Dean. I think that photo, like, got me into wanting to be a photographer, swear to God.
Whoa.
Yeah, and sometimes I see that poster
around. Okay, well, now I want to go there and get a milkshake, and we can't, so.
Just a quick little trip to Calgs. Let's go.
Let's fly to Calgary just for Angels Drive.
Crazy. Okay, anyway. Damn, James Dean. Did he die in the car? Okay, tell me. Tell me the story.
So, first, who is James Dean?
Yeah, who is he?
Who is he? I don't know.
America's heartthrob.
Yeah. He was born on February 8th, 1931, to parents Mildred Wilson and Winton Dean. James was,
Do you like the name Mildred?
Not really. Why do you? Are you going to name your child Mildred?
No, but it's kind of cute.
Okay, well, I'll call them Millie.
Oh, see? Cute. Yeah. Or if they're a boy, they could go by Dread. Or Drew.
Yeah. Drew's a good name.
Cool. Anyway.
So when James was a child, his family moved to Santa Monica, California, in the U.S., if you don't know. And he was said to have quite a close relationship with his mom, but she unfortunately died of uterine cancer in 1938 when he was only 7.
Aww.
Apparently unable to care for his own child, Winton sent James to live with his aunt and uncle.
Classic.
Hortense and Marcus, who were farmers in Fairmont, Indiana. Hi, Ghoulies. Sarah here. I realized that I had forgot to give land acknowledgement. Santa Monica in California and Fairmont, Indiana. So Santa Monica is located on the traditional territories of the Tongva and Chumash nations, and Fairmount, Indiana is located on the traditional territories of the Kickapoo, Kaskaskia, and the Miamia nations. Growing up within the Methodist Church, James often sought counsel and friendship of Reverend James DeWord, who had a formative influence on young James. Within multiple articles throughout the years about James Dean and his life, it said that he was sexually assaulted and abused by a minister in his church. It might have been this DeWord guy.
I was kind of wondering, like, are you going to go in the direction of, like, they were best friends and he was, like, a father figure, or he was a fucking child predator? Like, I was like, it could go either
but
way.
No, but, like, both.
Okay.
But it's not...
It's complicated.
But we don't know for sure if it was this DeWord guy.
I see.
Sometimes he was named in some articles, sometimes he wasn't. Sometimes it was just like someone in the church.
Yeah. Okay.
A 2011 article reported that James had once confided in famous actress Elizabeth Taylor that he had been sexually abused by a minister shortly after his mother's death in 1938.
So sad.
And this alleged abuse occurred often within the church and churches across the world, and it still occurs today.
Mm-hmm.
Despite this possible abuse that James may have suffered, it said that he was a very smart kid and he was very popular in school. He focused his studies on drama, unsurprisingly, and is said to have played on both varsity basketball and baseball teams. After graduating high school in 1949, he enrolled in Santa Monica's college and began a major in pre-law. But he shortly transferred to the University of California and changed his major to drama. During this period of his life, he tried to reconnect with his dad, who had since remarried, but was met by antagonistic behavior, as Winton wanted him to complete his schooling in a more traditional career.
Okay.
You know, classic boring behavior of the parent of someone in the arts, and they're like, you need a real job.
Yeah. Except our parents. Shout out.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me go to art school.
Yeah.
And encouraging me the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because now I'm here in a different, cool, amazing position.
Yeah. Throughout university, James's acting was picking up, and in 1951, he actually dropped out to pursue acting full-time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
He was later quoted as saying, quote, "The decision to act was never prompted. My whole life has been spent in a dramatic display of expression," end quote. Throughout the 1950s, James Dean would star in a Pepsi commercial and would briefly appear in many TV shows of the time. 1953, he would land his first leading film role in East of Eden, which is an adaptation of John Steinbeck's novel that follows the story of two families in California and is loosely built off the biblical story of Abel and Cain.
Interesting.
James would be nominated for Best Actor in a leading role in 1956. And in 1955, he would star in A Rebel Without a Cause, which follows the life of a new and troubled student in a small town who struggles with his identity and family.
Wow, he would have been so young.
Yeah.
He was like 30, so 24.
Yeah.
Damn.
And Rebel Without a Cause is very popular. It's still known today. And it's popular because teenagers were really able to relate to it. And so it was kind of during this time that James Dean was seen as a heartthrob. His personal and love life became very public. And his most known relationship was with an Italian actress named Pier Angeli, whom he had met around 1953.
Cool.
These two were inseparable, and many believed they were deeply in love.
Aww.
But others believed that their relationship was a publicity stunt.
Oh.
And this was further exacerbated when, in late 1954, Angeli announced her engagement to a singer named Vic Damone.
Oh.
And they married within a month.
Oh. So. Was James like, well, fucking, I was blindsided to shit.
Yeah, I think so.
Or I wonder if it was part of their plan.
Well, I don't know, because what's sad is that later, when James died, there was reportedly a pamphlet found among his things that outlined the timing and order of a wedding, which is also known as an order for the solemnization of marriage. So it's just like, you know, you get a sheet of paper on the day of someone's wedding and it's like cocktail hours this time and then we have dinner.
Oh, yes. Okay, I see.
And and the name Pierre was written in places where the bride's name would be found. So like, I don't know if he was, like, looking to plan a wedding for them.
Oh,
and then she just got engaged to someone else.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Damn.
So that was kind of sad. Around 1954, James became involved in the world of motorsports. He competed in his first car race in March of 1955 and even placed on the podium. His hope was to one day compete in the Indy 500, but he was unable to due to his very chaotic film schedule. And he raced for the last time on a track in May of 1955, although he wasn't able to finish this race due to a blown piston, so he had to quit.
Shit.
That following October, he traded his Porsche Speedster for a faster Porsche 550 Spider that he would nickname Little Bastard, and he entered an upcoming road race that was to be set in the fall.
Cool.
On September 30th, 1955, James was en route to the race with Bill Hickman, a stunt coordinator, photographer Stanford Roth, and Porsche mechanic Rolf Wotherick. And it was very uncommon, and I mean, like, people don't do this now, to drive the car you're going to race in to the event.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You would get it, like, trailered there. Yeah, okay.
But because the car was brand new, they wanted to put some miles on it to make sure that it ran properly for the race.
They didn't even test it before the race other than just driving it
race. They're like, James, we'll just drive it to the race.
And then that will count as the test.
And then, well, yeah, like, it was a brand new car, and nothing's going to be wrong with it, but, like...
That's what you think.
Yeah. So, Rolf...
That's so funny.
Yeah.
The Porsche... But, like, it's weird, though, because... Sorry, you would want to learn the car a little bit, and, like, learn its handling...
Yeah, so they're doing
in a race
that...
setting.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Okay, boys, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go, boys.
So, Rolf was riding in the car with James from... Los Angeles
in Little Bastard
to Salinas, California, where the race was happening, while Bill Hickman was and Stanford Roth were, they were in a separate vehicle,
Stanford Pines,
and they were driving westbound on U.S. Route 466, traveling around 80 miles per hour. which is fast. 130 kilometers okay, an hour.
I thought that's fast. Like, I've gone that fast on the Coca-Cola before.
Yeah, it's fucking fast. It's scary. And yeah. Also, it's 1955.
So that's really scary.
And this car, do you want to see a picture?
Yes, please.
Okay, because it doesn't have a roof. It's a fucking race car.
It's a convertible? Okay, a convertible race car.
It's not a convertible.
But you said it doesn't have a roof.
Yeah, dude, it's a fucking race car.
Oh, that type.
Yeah.
It's funny that they used to have those because so much drag is created.
I know.
I think, anyway. Maybe not. Well,
I mean, yeah.
But that's funny. Damn. Yeah,
look at him.
Wow, there he goes.
Yeah, it's a very small car.
Oh, God, I feel like it would be like, you know when those speedboats are going really fast on the water like and that. Then they flip?
Yeah.
And they're, like, hovering above the water, but then they're, like, poof, and then they flip over. It's like that. That's what I imagine would happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay. They're driving 130 kilometers an hour for everybody else who doesn't use miles. When at 5:45 p.m., a 1950 Ford Tudor, driven by a university student going eastbound, turned onto Highway 41 heading north, just ahead of James's oncoming porch.
Like he pulled out in front of him?
Yeah, so James, going 130 kilometers, was unable to stop in time and T-boned the passenger side of the Ford, causing Rolf Weatherwick to be thrown from the car while James was trapped inside.
Holy shit.
The crash, because they,
so that guy wasn't wearing a seatbelt?
No. So he T-bones the Ford.
Wait, the Ford is pulling out like this?
Yeah.
And he T-bones. Okay, I get it. And he's turning left onto the highway.
Yeah. Okay. And then so James T-bones him, and then the car kind of like bounces off and goes and hits a power pole.
Oh.
In the ditch.
Oh.
Yeah. So the crash ended up breaking James's neck.
Oh.
But the other men walked away with minor injuries. Even Rolf was okay, and he was thrown from the car.
What about the truck guy?
He was okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Phew. Multiple people witnessed the crash, and according to James's biographer, George Perry, a nurse who had witnessed the crash attended to James and noted that he had a weak pulse. But when he later arrived at the hospital around 6:20, he was pronounced dead on arrival.
What?
So he was, like, barely alive, but he was trapped in the car, and they had to pull him out.
Oh. Yeah. So he didn't just break his neck, he died.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shit. So he didn't even get to race his car.
He didn't even get to race his car.
Kids, don't speed.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't speed. Even the Coca-Cola speed limit being 120 is too fast.
Well, I don't think he was speeding. I don't know if he was speeding.
Oh.
That's just what happened. Like,
oh, I see.
He just, like, unfortunate timing.
Kids, don't drive that fast.
Yeah.
And if you see a car pulling out, you start slowing down.
Yeah. Also, if you're a car pulling out, don't pull out in front of other cars. Even if you think you have space, maybe you just don't.
Yeah, because sometimes you can't judge how fast someone is driving,
exactly.
They might be going 130.
Exactly.
Okay, so he crashes in the pole, he breaks his neck, and he dies.
Yeah, do you want to see his car after?
Yes.
Okay.
As someone who has survived a car wreck that was, like, should have killed me.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated by...
This is what it looked like.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
That's, like, what my tracker looked like.
I remember. I am traumatized.
Yeah, sorry.
That was traumatizing for me.
Yeah, traumatizing for you. Tell me about it.
This is what his car looked like after the fact.
Holy.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine crumpled. A pop can that's been crumpled.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Completely and utterly. Yeah, so that's his car in the ditch.
Holy shit.
And that's what it looked like.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it was really crumpled very badly.
Yeah.
Now, if you're into the paranormal, you might be familiar with or have heard of the curse of Little Bastard.
So funny.
I know.
The curse of little bastard.
It even appears in an episode of Supernatural.
Oh, cool.
Where, like, someone, like has a part of the car, and then, like, James Dean is, like, haunting them or something. Anyway.
He's like, give me my car yeah. back.
And according to British actor Alex Guinness, a week before James's fatal crash, he wrote in his journal that Alec wrote in his journal that he had a very weird and ominous feeling when he saw the Porsche because James was like, look at my new car. Mm. And so Alec wrote in his journal, quote, the sports car looked sinister to me, exhausted, hungry, feeling a little ill-tempered in spite of Dean's kindness. I heard myself saying in a voice I could hardly recognize as my own, please never get in it. If you get in that car, you'll be found dead in it by this time next week.
I just got full goosebumps.
I know.
That's crazy.
And so James...
He warned him.
Yeah. And so James was like, calm down, Alec. It's fine.
Classic.
But he literally died a week later.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so that's kind of when the curse begins.
What would you do if someone said that to you?
I'd be like, okay. I don't know.
Would you sell? What if you bought your Subaru and I said, don't you ever fucking drive that car?
I'd be like, do you have the money to?
Yeah, I don't know what I would do either.
I'm not rich like James Dean.
I would probably sell it, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends who told me, I think.
Yeah, totally. People are like, damn, that's probably when the curse began, in hindsight. And after the crash, you're probably wondering, hey, how does this curse actually become a curse? Like, how are people being cursed by this?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Despite being totaled, a man by the name of Dr. William Estrich bought the Porsche from a salvage yard in Burbank, California, and stripped it for parts.
Oh.
Estrich put the engine into his own race car and loaned the transmission and suspension to fellow racer Troy McHenry.
I feel like that would piss James off for some reason.
Both ended up in quite bad crashes during race car races, with both Estrich and McHenry crashing during the Pomona sports car race in 1956.
Shit.
While Estrich survived his crash, McHenry unfortunately crashed into one of the only trees on the side of the track and was killed on the first lap of the race.
Holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Later, the car itself, like the, you know.
Yes.
Was purchased by...
The body.
The body, thank you. Was purchased by George Barris, who promised to rebuild it. But when he realized that the frame was beyond saving, he decided to capitalize on the car's fame. According to multiple articles, the car was loaned to the Los Angeles National Safety Council, who brought it on a tour of car shows from 1957 to 1959. And it was like a safety car show.
Okay, I feel like that's fine. But like, if you buy something that someone died in, and your goal is to capitalize on that thing, you're probably a shitty person.
I mean, yeah, this George Barris guy sucks.
Yeah, but like, I guess it's like, then... He's not, like, being like, ooh, come for this tour of this car that James Dean crashed. It's more just like, okay, he's loaning it to the safety whatever.
Yeah.
But it should just be donated to a museum or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
In March of 1959, while in storage, the car mysteriously caught fire.
What?
And while not a lot of damage occurred, two tires had melted.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah. Legend says that two other tires, like two spare tires from the Porsche, were sold by Barris, and they blew up around the same time that the car mysteriously caught fire, causing the car that they were on to drive off the road.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's so a lot of things.
Yeah. So the car catches fire. Meanwhile, someone who bought two tires from that car, they're driving, they're just like, da-da-da, and then they blow up, and then they freaking crash.
That's crazy.
They were okay, though, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
While on display in Sacramento, California, the Porsche is said to have fallen and it hit someone.
What?
And it caused them to fall and break their hip.
What? Yeah. What the fuck?
Another rumor is that the car fell on a man named George Barkas and killed him. George was the driver who was charged with transporting the car.
Whoa.
From expo to expo.
But it's a rumor? It didn't actually happen?
Well...
Or, like, you don't really know?
Listen, I say rumor. I saw it in a couple articles.
Right, but it wasn't, like, verified.
That's what people are saying, so...
Okay, so maybe. That's crazy, Boise.
Yeah. Then, in 1960, the famous Porsche disappeared from a boxcar, a train boxcar, while en route to Los Angeles from Miami.
What?
So where did it go? I don't know. It disappeared in 1960. It's never been found.
What?
We don't know where it is.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. It's gone. Where is it?
How Who knows? Does it just go? It's a fucking car.
So many people
Someone
believe
stole it?
That George Barkas made up the story about it being stolen. But despite $1 million reward being offered in 2005.
Holy shit.
No one knows what happened to the car.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
What?
We should go on an investigation and find that car.
Do you know how many people have tried to find that car?
Yeah, I bet. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. What's left of Little Bastard is the transaxle, which was sold at auction in 2021 for $382,000 to none other than the king of the paranormal, Zach Bagans.
Oh,
from Ghost
my
Adventures.
Fucking God. That is not the twist that I thought was going to happen. I've heard a lot of shit about that guy.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of a shitty guy.
Yeah, I think so too.
But anyway.
It's fine. Little Bastard's transaxle now lives in Bagans Haunted Museum in Las Vegas, where you can visit it, and other haunted items like the Dybbuk box and Peggy the doll. So that's where. But yeah, we don't know where Little Bastard went.
That's so weird and crazy.
Mm-hmm. The details of James Dean's death, obviously at the time, spread fast across radio stations and TV in 1955. His funeral was held on October 8th, and his casket remained closed due to the significant injuries he received from the crash.
Mm-hmm.
Around 600 people attended the church where his funeral was held.
Oof.
And another 2,400 fans had gathered outside the building.
What? There were 600 inside.
Yeah.
That's too many people in a church.
He's buried
I guess it's a big church.
He's buried at Park Cemetery in LA, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And a monument was erected in his name half a mile from where the accident happened. In 1960, he received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and in 1999, he was ranked as the 18th best male movie star of Golden Age Hollywood.
Wow.
He is credited as being influential for rebel teens everywhere, and has been noted by multiple other actors as being a catalyst for wanting to get into the world of film themselves.
Damn.
The world has additionally tied James to having a large influence in the music world as the embodiment of frustration felt by teens, quote, rebelling, unquote, against the values of their parents. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of the ways James Dean has seemingly influenced America in the 1960s. To further this influence of the rebel ideal, many rock musicians have written songs about him, such as the song James Dean by the Eagles, and the Goo Goo Dolls, and A Young Man Is Gone by the Beach Boys. But it doesn't end there. James Dean continues to be mentioned through all genres of music, including the song Blue Jeans by Lana Del Rey and Style by Taylor Swift.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Damn.
But that's not all. James Dean is often considered to be a sexual icon, as True. Many people believe him to have had an ambivalent or fluid sexuality.
I was kind of wondering, because I was kind of thinking, like, was he, I mean, you know how he was dating that woman?
Yeah.
But then she, like, got engaged to someone else. Yeah. At first I was thinking, like, were they just dating as a cover-up?
Yeah.
Because I thought that he was queer.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I, like, there's a biography from him. I mentioned the biographer earlier. I think his name was George. But I'm pretty sure it was said, like, a close friend of James Dean had said that they had, like, a close male friend. They had, like, sexual encounters and stuff. And
right.
I think probably because he grew up in the Methodist church and of the time,
yeah, he like, wasn't able to talk about it.
Yeah.
And not saying that, like, him being with the woman was only a cover-up. Like, it could have been both.
For sure.
Obviously, he could have been in love with her.
Yeah, exactly.
And.
Yeah. And also, you know, his signature style, which was blue jeans, a white t-shirt, and a motorcycle jacket, is, like, extremely tied to, like, the Rebels.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, and Dirty Dancing. And
or, like, in the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, in the Breakfast Club. And,
yeah,
you know.
Grease.
Yeah. Lightning. So he still influences a lot of stuff today. And I'm sure that he's, like, a big name in motorsport as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the life and death of James Dean and the curse of his Porsche little bastard.
Damn.
Who knows where it went?
Yeah, who knows? That's so crazy. I didn't know that he only lived into his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Did he die at 27?
Well, so he was born in 1931 and he died in 55.
No, okay. He was 24.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is that famous photo.
Oh, that photo.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Yeah. It's a famous photo of, like, James Dean looking disheveled. He also looks old as hell. He does not look like he's in his 20s.
Yeah.
He's wearing a big trench coat. It's mm-hmm. raining. Mm-hmm. It's in the city. And he has a cigarette in his mouth. Mm-hmm. Y'all probably know it. Also, like, look at his face in this one.
I know.
He does not look in his 20s.
I know.
But I guess people didn't drink water back then. Which is true.
I guess. I mean, like, well, look at him in these photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, he was in a lot of fucking movies.
Photo. Oh, I thought he was only in the two, but he was in a lot.
No, he was in a lot. I just, like, I couldn't name.
Those are the two that got famous.
Yeah, like, he was in a lot.
Cool.
And there's been a lot of films made for him, too, as well. And, like, his life and.
Damn. That's really cool.
Yeah, but
and
yeah.
And really sad, also.
Yeah, so that's my story for today. And
well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good job.
And, you know, I'll probably cover other haunted objects in the future.
Yeah.
So if there's a haunted object that you really like, just let me know and I'll work on that.
Yeah, you can let us know about that. You can send us your comments, questions, critiques, concerns at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
You can slide into our DMs on Instagram at
Ghoul Society Pod.
You can follow Sarah on TikTok at
ghoul.societypod.
And the resources for every episode are in the episode's description box.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time.
Bye.